Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. I have a great show for you tonight. I'm really excited. My guest tonight is Rosie Aldrett from the group Cougars Rock. And before I get into the story of how I discovered Rosie, I want to just make a quick shout out to my friends over at The Tribe. It's a band of various musicians. They're doing an annual charity concert helping the kids at the holidays, and the show is titled Peace, Love, and Understanding. It's helping the LA Fire Department's Spark of Love Toy Drive, a Lisa Ann Byrne Foundation, the Get Together Foundation, and also sponsored by Rockseller Magazine. A bunch of the people that are, well, some of the guests are Carney Wilson, Peter Asher from Peter and Gordon, and Mary Wilson from the Supremes, Marcella Detroit that played with Eric Clapton, and Rosemary Butler, who was on our show, that sang with Jackson Browne and was the bass player for Bertha, Jeff Allen Ross from Badfinger, Ron Bofilio from Wilson Phillips, and also his solo stuff, Freebo, John Wicks, Mark Mann, Dave Perlman, and Laurie Reamer, and Kiki Ebsen. And as you recognize some of the names, they've been on my show. So check them out. It's Sunday, December 4th at 7 p.m. at Cal State University of Northridge, Plaza del Sol Performance Hall, 18111 Nordoff Street, Northridge, California, 91330. Tickets are available at the CSUN box office at 818-677-3000, online via Ticketmaster. And check out www.thetribeband.com to hear more, to read more about them and what they're doing. Okay, anyway, as I posted this morning, and thanks to Facebook, I met this woman. how they post various things on how, you know, suggestions for you on how, you know, different things that you want to check out. And I saw this one piece, and I'm going to play the clip in a minute, of Rosie playing Voodoo Child. And it's like I heard her play and I'm like, this is cool. I have to have her on the show. I haven't had anybody play Hendrix. Like, I haven't had a woman play Hendrix. And you're a lefty too, which is cool. So anyway, let me play the clip and we'll get into this. But here's Voodoo Child.
Oh,
So you get an idea what I was listening to, and I'm like, no, I just have to have this person on the show. So I found the band Cougars Rock's Facebook page and sent a message to them, and Chrissy responded, who's here tonight in the studio, and she put me in touch with Rosie, and I'm glad you did. Rosie, welcome to the show. It's just so cool to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Anyway, the let me set you center. I just noticed that you were off to the right. Anyway, tell me a little bit about your background, because you have a pretty amazing. I mean, I was looking at your bio, and you've played a lot of different styles of music, and you've over the years. And one of my favorites, I'm into funk and R&B, and that was a big influence.
Yeah.
And you can tell the blues influence is big in your playing.
Yes, it is huge. You know, I started taking lessons when I was a teenager, and basically my guitar teacher to me is probably the biggest influence I've ever had, music, you know, guitar-wise. Mm-hmm. And he always told me, you know, learn everything. Try to be very well-rounded. If you want to be a musician, you want work, try to know how to play a little of everything. So I got just into all types of music. I love music, of course, you know. So when I really started getting into guitar, I first listened to Zeppelin. An uncle of mine gave me a bunch of cassettes. And the song, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, I just loved it. And he was like, are you, you know, you like that bluesy type of guitar sound, whatnot? And I was like, yeah, I really like it. Because I was into punk rock, you know, all that stuff like that when I was a teenager. And he's like, well, you need to listen to B.B. King and, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan. And after I listened to that, I just fell in love. You know, I was in it. So, and he would take me to, when I was, you know, 17, I was fortunate to get taken to, like, blues jams and play with a lot of older players, you know, at a young age. So
it was, now you're based out in Corona. Did you grow up there?
I grew up in Rancho Cucamonga, actually.
Oh.
And that's where I started taking lessons, and they just had this awesome program there where would they still do, and I teach there now. They basically were, you know, you could kind of like a school of rock, join the band. And that's how I met a bunch of people. They had guitar contests. You know, I won my first guitar contest when I was 15 there at the store. And, you know, I won a lot of cool guitars. And, you know, it was just an awesome place. It was a good environment for someone that was really shy, you know, and didn't have a lot of friends. Like, for me, it was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. So
I think a lot of musicians, when we were teenagers especially, it was one way to get around the shyness.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the store? What's the name of the store?
Oh, the store at the time was called Altaluma Music. Now it's called Music and Arts.
Oh, very
and,
cool.
And, yeah, they're like, you know, so they have a really great lesson program there, and I teach at the one in Rancho Cucamonga and the one in Corona. So,
oh, very, very cool.
Yeah.
So you were listening you weren't that far from L.A., so you'd be exposed to a lot of different stuff, and that's very... So you were, besides Zeppelin, what else did you listen to at the time?
Well, I started... when I started getting into blues, you know, I really got into Santana. Because I think, you know, I'm Latin, and I really loved the way he had the whole Latin influence and blues combined. To me, was just awesome, you know. And I loved jam bands, jamming, you know, like Allman Brothers. I was into, and Stevie Ray Vaughan, of course, was a huge influence. And of course, Jimi Hendrix was one of, you know, my favorite guitar players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are my top three. But you know, when you get more into blues, like I got really into, like, you know, B.B. King and All the Kings.
So All the Kings.
I was
That's
just, you
true.
Know, I was just into everything. I love, like, I started getting into funk and R&B, you know, like Earth, Wind and Fire and Tower of Power. And
Was that just from the radio, or were you people playing that? Were you?
You know, my dad actually is probably the reason why I got into some of that, because he used to listen to a lot of that, like Earth, Wind and Fire and War, you know. And,
yeah.
And I loved it. When I started playing guitar, I appreciated it more, you know, the music. So, my dad always told me I was born in the wrong era, because everything I was into was like, you know.
Well, that's but it's good that you adopted it and do that, because you can hear it in your playing. I mean, that's the thing that impressed me the most, is the expressiveness in playing in your leads, your bending and the tone. And that's I know when a lot of the metal stuff had come out later on, they did a lot of the, you know, especially with the tapping and stuff, it was more like keyboard bass where they were doing these like great arpeggios, and nothing against that.
Yeah.
But that feel of hearing, you know, when you hear Hendrix and he's bending those notes, and he'll just hold a note and he'll bend it, bring it back, and it starts feedback, and he just keeps going off of one note. You can say so much with just one note, as opposed to just a flurry of notes. Though I have to admit, you're really fast.
You know, there are a lot of really great technical players out there. I try to be able to do a little of everything, but I do play with I feel like I play with a lot of passion. It really does come from within me, and I think that's why I was so drawn towards blues, because that's what it is. You know, you could play notes all day long, but if it's not coming from you, then it's not going to come across to me.
Well, it's an attitude and feel. You even, we were talking about before the show a little bit about jazz and stuff. Even jazz, it's all feel. It's more feel than the you know, you don't have to play a flurry of notes if it feels right. It's all expression, and I think that's important.
Yeah, that was one thing that you know, back to my guitar teacher, his name was Dean Roscoe, by the way, or still is. he would tell me all that stuff, you know, like I remember, like, if you stand next to me, a lot of people make fun of me because I hum everything I play. So, like, I'm sitting there and I'm making all these noises. But he told me, like, you want to be able to sing what you're playing on guitar, you know, for phrasing. And so, like, in our lesson rooms, he would turn off the light and he's like, play and hum what you're playing, right? Like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, a lot of players do that.
Yeah. I
That's not uncommon. That's a lot. But, like, for example, when I studied with Duke Miller, one of the things he said, if you can hear it, you can play it.
Mm-hmm.
The technique and all the lessons and all the exercises just give you the automated response, so that you know it intrinsically, you know where your hands are going to go.
Yeah.
So all you think about is the melody. It even goes beyond notes, where you go beyond the melody and you just play. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're saying. I mean, that's really what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, that's interesting. Well, I'm going to play another clip. This was... you had sent me a clip of, it was kind of it's from the Cougars Rock, and it was like a compilation.
Oh, yes.
It sounds like a Hendrix. I can't remember.
I think there's a Little Wing might be in there.
Right. I'm going to play the first part, which is, I think, Little Wing. So I'm going to play this. Take a listen, and then we're going to talk about your gear.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Now, that was taken from a live video, so that's why you're hearing all the audience and the screaming and stuff in there, but it's a great clip.
That was Black Magic Woman. Yeah.
But your tone, I mean, it's just right there. Well, let's talk a little bit. What was your first guitar?
My first guitar was an acoustic guitar. It was like a Regal that my grandfather let me use because I begged my parents, you know, could I please take guitar lessons? I was so into music. So he lent me that. And then when we realized I was left-handed, you know, we had the guitar flipped around. But my first electric guitar was a Fender Strat, made in Japan one. And I still have it, actually. It's a nice guitar.
Never sell.
Yeah.
Keep that first guitar. No, that's great. So you use it. Well, let's talk about your evolution of your equipment and then we'll get into what you were using on these last two clips I was playing. But what did you use? What was your first amp that you were using?
The first amp I ever used was it was a Crate, you know, Crate solid state. Mm-hmm. When I started really getting into guitar, you know, like my first tube amp actually was a Mesa Boogie Mark III.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. My guitar teacher, he was, you know, a huge Mesa Boogie fan, so I got all into those amps, and I still love them, you know, today. So that's what I'm using now.
So. And but the so from the Crate, you went right to the Mesa Boogie, but
like a Fender Ultra Chorus in between there.
did you ever use a Marshall?
I did use a Marshall. I had for a while. I was using a tube, I think it was a JCM 900 little tube combo when I had a 112 cabinet with it. I used that, and no offense to people that love Marshalls, but I was playing in a top 40 band, and it just wasn't versatile enough for all of the different, you know, genres that we were covering.
Yeah.
So I ended up going, at some point I got rid of the Mark IIIs. I went through like three of them. And then, you know, guitar players always searching for something. Mm-hmm. but yeah, I ended up getting the Marshall. And then I ended up getting like a Blues DeVille 410. Like, you know, and I love that amp, actually. You know, it's always backline when you travel and you have to use
Yeah, gear. No, I hear you. And that was a 4x10. That was a 40 watt, I think.
I think so, yeah. I beat the heck out of that amp. I'm still am hard on my stuff, you can ask.
Now, what are you using now? You're using a Mesa Boogie.
I use a Mesa Boogie Transatlantic, and I also use a Carvin Legacy.
And that's, the Carvin's 100 watts, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's got great tone, three channels.
But the Mesa is 50?
No, actually, the Mesa Boogie is 40 watts.
40 watts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a twin. Is that a 112 or 212?
It's a 212, yeah.
2x12?
And they have the cool thing about the Mesa Boogie, the one I'm using, the Transatlantic, is that it's light. You know, it's a little lighter than some of the other stuff, combos that Boogie had put out.
Now, and that's what you were using on these clips that I played,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was using the Mesa Boogie on
No, it's a good, I found it was a good compromise between Marshall and Fender. You could kind of get both, you know, and it was the amp that actually Santana started.
Yes, yes. I know, and that was one of the big reasons why I played one. I love Santana's, probably one of my favorite guitar players. So.
Yeah, he put Mesa Boogie on the map. I remember he had that modified Princeton. That was his first one. Was the first Mesa Boogie?
You think it's the Mark IIc? Or Mark I, I can't remember, but...
well, he went through all of them, but I remember the first one was a mod, I think, that he used. It wasn't officially Mesa Boogie, but it was a Princeton, and they beefed up the power stage and the gain stage on it, and then that became the Mark series amps. The Mark I was the first one, but he was using them all the time, and they used to have those real fancy wood or leather.
Oh, yeah. There's
very cool amps.
Yeah, they make some nice stuff. And his tone, you know, like that's why I love his tone and the sustain he gets. You know, he could hold on that note and you hear that note sustained forever. Like that's when you know you have good tone.
There was a debate all the time in Woodstock when he played at Woodstock because he got that really bluesy sound out of that SG. And I always thought he was using a twin, but he wasn't. He was using a solid state amp. I forget the name of it. My friend was telling me about it, but he looked it up. He was actually using a solid state. That blew me away. That just Wow. Yeah, that's a great, because that's a great, I mean, on the, in that concert, that's a great sound. He's got a great tone on there. Now, what pedals do you use?
I use a few pedals. I have, it's always growing, the board, or changing. Right now, I use, like, to boost my solos, I use the, I think it's the Super Fat, it's by, or Super Badass, sorry, by MXR, distortion pedal. Mm-hmm. And then I also, for the Van Halen band, because we have the Van Halen tribute, I use, you know, the, I have his pedal for that one too on there. The Which distortion, the MXR, the Eddie Van Halen. I have a boost that I like to use, and I actually keep the boost on all the time because it kind of improves the overall tone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have my wah.
Who makes the boost?
It's called Cusack.
Q as a
it's
letter Q?
It's K-U-S-A-C, I believe.
Cusack boost. Yeah. Okay. Your wah?
My wah is a Vox wah.
Old one?
Well, I mean, it's not that old. Just maybe it's like 5-6 years old.
Oh, okay.
I'm also, you know, I have a delay that I use, the MXR delay pedal. I love that one. And I have a phaser that I use, of course, for the Van Halen stuff.
The Van Halen phaser?
Yeah. And I use a flange, which is the Electric Mistress. I'm not...
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for a new one. Any recommendations, let me know.
if you can find it, the Line 6 Liquid... It's called Liquid something. It's a little floor pedal, but it gets that real rich flange that's close. I always like the... like what Frank Marino used. He used the Eventide flangers, the studio models.
Oh, those are nice.
To get that real comb.
Mm-hmm.
That liquid liquid flanger is what it's called by Line 6. It's a little pedal, and it gets the it's close to that. I used to have a Tycho Brahe pedal flanger, and that had that real rich, but it was noisy as all hell. But it sounded great. It had that real rich comb filter.
Mm-hmm.
But the liquid flanger. The only other thing I think you can use is... TC Electronics, I think, makes a flanger now that has what they call, it goes past the zero point, so it cancels and then comes down in the negative, and it gives you that, like, that real weird radical, like if you listen at the beginning of Electric Ladyland,
mm-hmm.
where you hear it going and it kind of just cancels and then it comes back.
Oh, yeah.
That's that zero point in the flanger, and I think it's TC Electronics does that, and... Eventide, their H9 has the instant flanger in it.
Yeah, I was actually wanted to buy that pedal. It's
but you know you're in good company with Electric Mistress, because that's what David Gilmour and a lot of people use that.
Are they?
Yeah, that's a really popular. You can get the Gilmour sound out of that with your Strat. You
oh, he's got great tone. I love the
yeah,
way he sounds.
But that's the Electric Mistress on there.
Oh.
So anyway,
I've
that
had
was,
it forever.
Never sell it.
Yeah.
Never sell it.
I also use the it's Empress, and it's basically supposed to, you know how all the pedals kind of take the tone from the amp,
mm-hmm.
so it's supposed to keep the true tone of the amp.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got like a built-in effects loop in it,
mm-hmm.
and then of course when I my you know like my delay and all my chorus and all that stuff is I run that through the effects loop of the amp, and then the rest comes out.
Yeah, you have that, and the other thing that's cool about the Mesa Boogies, you have the speaker simulator, so you can run that out to the PA system too.
Oh yeah, not on mine. I wish.
Oh,
that's
why
I want. That's why I want the Mark V.
But the one thing to mention, because I've had him on the show, is a friend of mine that's a guitar tech. He's worked on Trower's stuff.
Oh,
his
I love
name's
Robin
Don
Trower.
Don Butler. And he does a mod for your wah that makes it a Clyde McCoy.
Oh,
and
really?
It's good. It's really good, and it's not that bad. I mean, it's not that. It's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I was just talking to someone about my wah the other day because I, you know, all the adjustments you have to get in underneath, you know, take the pedal apart if you need to adjust anything, and then it's always, you know, it gets dirty, and you start getting that, like, you know, that little sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it bugs me, but because I use the wah all the time.
Yeah,
as you
no,
can tell,
yes,
in a few clips you've played, I've used wah.
Well, you're one of the people that use it also, too, as a tone setup instead of just the whack-a-whack type of thing where you're actually moving it just subtly. And there is a difference in the Vox and the Crybaby. I know people debate that, but
mm-hmm.
I have a Thomas Organ Vox, and there is a difference. That's the one like Clapton used and mm-hmm. stuff. It has that, the filter sweep is a little different. But the Clyde McCoy was the original, even before the Vox, that one came out. And it's probably the best to me in the sound of it. I mean, there's a lot of different ones that are really good.
I know, yeah. There's so many pedals out there now.
Electro Harmonix has one. There's no pot. It's totally sensor. So when you play, it just looks like a pedal that you rock on the floor. There's no moving part, and it does the wah. It's pretty amazing.
Wow.
And there's no noise, and there's no scratching. That's the problem with our wah.
Like, yeah, that's it.
It does that little scratch.
Yeah, I used to use Crybaby wah. I had a few of them, and then I ended up breaking them. So I was like, well, I'm going to try different brands. So I went with Vox. That's why I ended up having that one. And that one's actually lasted me the longest so far.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if you still have those old Voxes, send them over to Don, and he'll make them into Clyde McCoys, and then you'll have a whole battery of them. They're great. I can't recommend it enough. He did it to mine. I bought a new one, and it just stopped working. So I had it sitting there for a long time, and he said, I can make it into Clyde McCoys. So I said, let's try it.
Oh, that's cool.
So, and we played it on the show. You can look up in the archives. You can hear that show, but it's really cool. But anyway, I don't want to mention that. Now, guitars. What you're using now, a carbon.
Yes, this one I brought today is Lukiesel carbon. This one is carbon. It's the SCB6, and I got it custom made, and I love it. It's my main guitar. I use this one the most.
Yes, and you're a lefty.
Yes.
So it must have been difficult getting guitars.
Well, it's been a challenge.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. What's awesome about carbon, though, is that and this is one reason why, there's a lot of reasons why I love their guitars, but this is one big one, is that any model I want, I can get left-handed. Most companies don't do that. You know, it's one model, you're limited on color mm-hmm. selection. It's pain, and they charge more. But Carbon doesn't do that. I can get any model I want, any color I want, and
now you're using there's a Floyd on this, but you're not using a locking nut.
Yes. I thought when I ordered it, that's my fault. I was thinking, well, I have the locking tuners. It's going to be fine. And it wasn't. So, you know, I was having some tuning issues. So, but I ended up blocking the tremolo, and I put on the little detuner on it, mm-hmm. you know, so I can tune down fast.
Well, I'm taking pictures while I'm talking here. That's why I'm away from the mic. A friend of mine, we were talking about earlier, it's really into Hendrix. He brought over I forget the name of the guitar. He brought a guitar. It had a Kaler on the back of it,
uh-huh.
and he took off the clamp nut, but he had the guy adjust the nut so that it was really smooth, and there was no, and he had locking, and it stayed in tune. I was amazed. He said, just trash this whammy bar, see what you can do. So I was like going nuts on it, and it stayed in tune.
Yeah,
so
no,
it's not a bad thing. It can work.
Yeah, I don't have any problems with it. I mean, it plays great. The one thing I just adjusted to it was when I ordered it, I ordered the back, you know, with the paint.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up having my guitar guy shave that off, so it's just natural wood.
Looks nice. So you like the rougher, the unfinished feel?
Well, he did oil it down. He sanded it off, and then he oiled it with walnuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so I do like the way that feels. Because then I like to be able to feel the strings, like, vibrating. You know, that's when you know you have a nice feel guitar,
okay.
when you can kind of feel that, the strings...
Go ahead
in your fingers,
turn it up.
So it's like a whole new guitar now. I'm in.
What pickups are you using?
These are the lithium pickups. They're carbon pickups, and they're new, and they're awesome. I have really good sustain and.
Now, are they just in humbucker mode, or can you split them?
You can split them.
Or push
split
pull.
The back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but I always use, I'm partial to humbuckers. It's kind of funny because I grew up playing blues, and most blues players love Strats, but I have Strats, and but I just, to me, they're hard to play. You know, I like, and I love the warmth of a of the humbucker. I used to use SGs forever.
Okay.
Like, that was my main.
Well, that's what I always. Gibsons were always the blues guitar of choice for my friends, either ES335s or Les Pauls.
Yeah, I have a Les Paul. I kind of got afraid to use it when I broke the neck on it twice, but like I said, I'm rough on my stuff.
Now, is that from jumping around, or is
no,
that?
No, it was all accident. You know, I think about 6 months after I had it on a stand, and I was at a gig, and one of the other guys in the band went to grab his cable, and you know how Les Pauls are. It fell smack, cracked in. Broke the neck.
Yeah, they'll break, especially if it's got a good thin neck on it.
Yeah. So, but I have now. I'm all into the Carvin, the Kiesel guitars. I think I have five of them now. So, that's what I'm. I use this one, and I have a Vader. Have you ever seen the Vaders? They're like the headless guitars.
Yeah, there's. I've seen pictures of you playing that.
Yeah, I have. My band plays a lot. So. Develop those shoulder problems from standing up and playing. So the Vader's, you know, 6 pounds.
No, the one I used on the picture that I used for the promo.
That's my Vader.
That's the Vader. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the Vader guitar. And that's made by Carvin?
Yes. It's Kiesel, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But does it say Carvin on it? Like
this one does, yeah.
Okay. I got to write this down so I remember all this. That's cool. That's an interesting guitar. That's
yeah.
Nice.
And the one I got made for Van Halen, our Van Halen tribute, that one is a Kiesel as well.
Is that the one that looks like a Strat?
And yeah. It has the Eddie striping, the Bumblebee Strat type. Yeah, we had that one custom made because, you know, it's an all-girl band, so we're doing a spin. Like, they have the red and black, so we do hot pink and black. So
right,
I got
right.
The hot pink guitar.
But you're the what pickups are on those guitars? Are the same?
I have the lithium on all three of those.
All lithium.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
Those are nice sounding pickups.
They do. They sound great.
Do me a favor and go through, play a little bit, show both pickups, and then split them so we can get an idea of the tonal versatility. Now, what's that? Which one do you use?
That's the neck pickup.
Humbucker, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, I can split. I can split the back when I have the splitter on. That's the humbucker. And then.
Yeah, the humbucker has a lot of top end. It's not that far from the single coil.
No, uh-uh. Yeah.
Is it easier with the single coil to squeal, or do you get the harmonics, or does the humbucker deliver it?
Yeah, the humbucker definitely.
That's the humbucker.
Yeah. I like the way it feels. The guitar plays great.
Yeah, no, I mean, it sounds, the tone on it is great. How's the single coil on the rhythm pickup, the neck pickup?
Let me switch it to clean.
And also, too, I brought down, I had to bring a pedal for her to play with. I have the Solo Dallas Storm here, so she's been fooling around with that to give her a little extra gain. Mm. I think she likes it.
Yeah, I do, actually. It's really nice. But clearly I'm having fun playing. Let's see here.
Now we'll get some funk. Now that's both pickups, right?
No, I have it split.
Oh, so the five position switch isn't just a switch.
Yeah, it's...
That's the single coil bridge pickup.
Yeah. So you see the humbucker's a little hotter.
So you can't use both pickups split, so you get like a telly thing?
No.
It's pretty interesting at the beginning.
My little Vader, that one, you know, like this one I like to use when I'm doing like songs where I want to solo or shred or whatever. But that little Vader is great for all the, you know, like I'm playing a top 40 band, so we play everything. But all that, like the funk and the R&B stuff that we do, all the dance, the Vader just has a great tone for that. Like, you know, you get that bright,
right. Sound. Well, I would presume too. You have the Cougars Rock is the main top 40 band.
Yeah.
And then you have Femme Fatale, which is the...
Femme Halen.
Mm-hmm. Femme Halen, which is the Van Halen
tribute
band.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Totally Go-Go's.
Yes.
Now, Totally Go-Go's, I would presume you would get that kind of clean type
of... Well, the Totally Go-Go's, I use a Fender Strat for that
one.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. She uses like a Tele... normally, but since I don't have a Tele, which I need for my collection, I use the Strat.
Well, so. one thing you could try on one of the guitars, if you can have it set up that way, is if your split coils sound like a, you know, Fender, if you can get them, is have it set so you can have both pickups and split coil, because that's basically the Tele sound.
Yeah.
It's the far bridge, far neck pickup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it sounds like these pickups are versatile enough where it would give you that kind of tone. It's a different type of tone. It's I don't know how to describe it, but it has like a nice, it's not out of phase, but it has that kind of a thinner, but it does have a little thump to it.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll have to check it out. I always use the Strat. Well, plus, you know, when you do the tribute bands, you want to try to look as close to the band actually,
yeah.
You know, so...
I don't know. I mean, you're getting a lot of different tones and sounds that out of the carbons that are just fine, even though they're not the guitar they use. But you get a good Gibson blowout sound, and you get a good Strat type sound. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You're definitely getting the tone.
I am definitely not disappointed with any of the guitars that I have made by them. They're awesome. The first one I had made was, you know, more like a Les Paul type, because that's what I was into. I was, you know, hardcore into all my Gibson stuff. And now, like, I don't even play any of my other guitars. I have, you know, I got Fender Strats and Gibsons and all kinds of stuff at home, and all I ever play are the carbons.
Now, what did you tell them in terms of the shape of the neck? What did you use one of your guitars as a reference, or?
No, I actually just ordered the necks, the standard size. But when I got the one for Femme Halen made, that one, we actually did more of the thinner, you know, like the shred guitars. That's just the full-on shred guitar all around.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, and it, you know, I have like a maple fretboard on that one, like a bird's eye maple fretboard. It's really nice. I love it. Please.
Well, I noticed that the neck isn't too wide.
It's
fairly
nice.
Thin neck.
Yeah, if you want to check it out. It's left-handed, but
it's a lefty.
Yeah.
Oops.
Here you go.
There we go. But this neck is it's kind of a there's no heel. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So she can get way up on the top. But the neck has a nice, smooth, like an oval type of... I'm trying to describe it while I'm holding it. But the action's really low. And what kind of frets are these? Anything in particular?
I believe they're stainless steel on those.
So they... Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they... I know that on my Tele, I have the stainless steel, and they bend.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice
It's
guitar.
Like butter. It's just like butter. I mean, they just bend just really smooth. That's a beautiful guitar. And the other thing I noticed... on your guitars, the woods, the wood on this, the top is beautiful.
I'm a fan of exotic wood guitars. That's just my favorite. This one has a flame maple top on it, and it's awesome. Can I say bitchin'? I mean, it's awesome. Yes.
Some people don't remember that term. You're dating yourself. That's true.
Bring it
that's
back,
true.
Girl. Bring it back.
I have a CT6 that has, it's another carbon, and that one has a quilted maple top. It's red, and it, you know, I love the quilted maple because it looks like, you know, like satin sheets.
Yeah. Check out the Cougars Rock. It's Cougrzz Rock Facebook page, and you'll see these pictures. There's all these guitars. They're really cool.
Yeah, and the Vader is the flame maple top, too.
Yeah, that one, if you saw the promo, that's the picture of her. You're indoors, but it looks like it's out.
We're outdoors. I think we were playing at a winery on that picture.
There's like this countryside behind her, and she's just playing this amazing guitar.
Yeah, we play a lot in the Temecula Valley, so a lot of the wineries out there. Maybe beautiful backgrounds. It's awesome.
Take Sunday Funday to a new level.
Yeah.
There you go. Now, anything else that you use? Do you use any other type? Have you ever tried like Leslie cabinets or anything? Any other type of special effects on your guitars?
Well, I used to use a Rotovibe a lot, which I'm. This is why you should never sell. Listen to Jeff.
Never sell.
I used to have a Rotovibe, and I loved that pedal, and I got rid of it because I started playing for a singer who wanted me to have specific pedals for gigs, and I was like, well, I got to get rid of it. I don't know why I thought that. Yeah, that was horrible. Because, you know, that's where you get, like, the bridge of size tone and, you know, all of that. you need that.
So. And it's pretty close. We A-B'd it with an original Univibe. And it's very, very close. That's a good little pedal, and it's compact. It's in one little guy.
I had the one, the red one, that looked like a wah pedal. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that one? But I really want to get another one bad. That's my next thing to
you
get.
You have to.
Yeah, I do.
There's no excuse.
I'm
going to hold her to it.
The guy that works on my guitars is like, you don't have any more room on your pedal board? I'm like, I have to buy a bigger one.
No, yes, you have to expand it. But yeah. that thing's pretty compact, but you definitely have to have a Rotovibe. You have the flanger, you have the phaser, the Rotovibe. Those are the three sounds that you need to be. Those are the three processes.
I know. It's horrible. I'm going to get one. Next time I see you, I'll probably have it.
She's going to have to bring it in because I'm going to have her do I'm going to have her do one of the Voodoo Child live.
Oh, that's an excellent idea. Hold her to it, Jeff.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm going to hold you to it. So tell me now, I told you we'd go fast. We're almost out of time.
Oh, wow.
I want to talk a little bit about the bands.
Yes.
And what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And how to get a hold of you guys. And Chrissy, chime in here if you need to. But explain to me all the bands. I want to know all.
Because
there's so many things you guys do.
We have Cougars Rock, which is our main band. And it's Cougrzz. If you look it up. And that basically, we play every weekend. We play a lot. We probably play like, you know, this week we have four gigs. We're usually playing like two, three gigs a week at minimum. We play everywhere. We play casinos. We're at the, like I said, in Temecula, the wineries. We're all over the place. We have our tribute bands, Femme Halen and Totally Go-Go's. We also have our trio that we do.
Is that the acoustic one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do acoustic or electric. And that one is kind of, it's a little different from Cougars because, well, Chrissy sings in that one. And our keyboard player actually plays bass.
She's like you, Jeff. She plays a multitude of instruments.
And we do a lot more blues, you know, like I get to jam more, which is what I like to do.
That video you played of her playing Black Magic Woman, mm-hmm. That's the trio.
Oh, okay.
So that's into this jam band.
But that's electric, right?
We do mm-hmm. we do acoustic and electric.
If you don't play drums, what do you do?
I sing and play the drums.
Oh, you do play drums.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Because
mm-hmm. you know, if you can't fit the drums in there, you can always get a cajon. And
that's what I do with our acoustic.
Okay,
I play the cajon. Yes, sir.
Very cool.
You got it.
Very, very, very.
As a matter of fact, Jeff has to come jam with us.
Because this is
what we do. We play a regular gig down in Lake Forest at a restaurant bar called Our Place. And what we do is we kind of do an organized jam. We invite our friends, fellow musicians, mm-hmm. to come join us in songs. So it's kind of like an organized jam, and it would be so fun for
okay.
you to come jam
right.
with us.
It's, all right.
Yeah.
I got to decide now which one I'm going to bring
yeah.
down.
And it's a Thursday night. They're Thursday nights. So one Thursday a month. And we play from 8 to 11. So it's a relatively early night.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay. Now I'll get all, after the show, I'll get all that info from you guys. You have to check that out. And, but anyway, also, to, so what's coming up for you guys? Let me know real quick.
This week, where we're at this week or?
Mm-hmm. What's coming up are, you know, if. Also different areas. So like if you're playing at the one of the casinos or something, let them know within the month.
So in December, we're playing two different casinos. Paula Casino, which is pretty much our number one customer down in Paula, California, as well as Pechanga Casino in mm-hmm. Temecula. We also are going to be playing at Misty's in Ontario, the DoubleTree Hotel in Ontario. And our, basically our strategy for next year is this. We are, you know, in many cases turning into a casino band because we're playing in a lot of the casinos in the low desert. So India, we play at Spotlight 29, Fantasy Springs, Agua Caliente, and we're also playing in Pechanga and Paula down south. The Indian gaming casinos, mm-hmm. We found a good niche for ourselves. So we're going to have a lot more casino gigs this year. We're hitting, in terms of booking, because I do the booking for the band. What I'm trying not to do is the girls feel a bit like they're slave labor because,
play a lot.
Because we play a lot. And I feel like it's my responsibility to keep the ladies busy. I have a group of committed, talented women. And as you know, you're a lifetime musician. Like, you know how hard it is to keep a band together. And my responsibility, I feel, is to keep the girls busy. Sometimes I get a little, you know, crazy. So the ladies would love it if they could have a week or, I mean, a night or two off a month. So what I'm trying to do is look for better quality gigs for the ladies. Mm-hmm. And those are going to happen at the casinos.
Yes.
And we have a trailer. We travel. We have our passports. We're looking to travel further with our tribute bands, our Femme Halen band. We just got picked up by an agency. We're very, Jessica's agency. We are very excited about that. It's Nightly Entertainment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're really excited about getting picked up by her agency because we feel like she's going to help us book a lot more gigs next year with the Trib. So I'm just trying to create this umbrella organization where we offer a lot of different product lines to all of our potential venues and customers mm-hmm. so we can continue to rock out, you know, well into 2020, 30, 40, where I told the girls years ago, we will never stop playing, whether it's at retirement homes where our guests can't leave, they're stuck there, whatever, it doesn't matter, we're going to keep playing.
No, that's what it, people thought that, you know, I remember when I was a kid and we'd see the groups like the Stones or whatever, it's like, you know, what's going to happen when they get old? And they're still going. They're still great. And they have so much energy. These groups are just, you know, once you're a musician, I know that feeling, you're always a musician, you always play.
Exactly.
And the thing I like, Rosie, is you're always, like, experimenting with the pedals. Mm-hmm. And you're always looking for new and different sounds.
Yeah. I mean, it's never ending.
That's the coolest
the
thing. You got to remember that. There's always something else. That doesn't mean you sell anything, but there's always something else.
Yeah.
I know your house will be full of guitars and you'll have nowhere to sleep, but that's okay. As long as
I'd rather have a house full of guitars than a bed,
I agree. I agree. Now, I want to thank you guys both for being on the show. It's just really a pleasure. And we just touched the surface. I'm going to have you come back. You guys got to come back and we'll talk more about what you guys are doing and stuff. And I want to get more into detail. Maybe next time we'll talk more about your pedal board and some of the effects and go through that.
Sure.
So what I'm going to leave us with is I pulled the clip of a segment out of Eruption. Or actually, I think it's the whole clip.
Oh,
and
nice.
Then so this will give you an idea. And this is you're using the Strat version of the Carvin Strat.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everybody have a great week. Also, too, www.cougars, C-O-U-G-A-R-Z, G-R-Z-Z,
yeah.
sorry, rock.com, and they're on Facebook, and there's also one for Femme Halen and Totally Go-Go's. like all the pages, check out the pictures. You're going to love some of these guitars that she's playing, and you can see some of the amps that she's gone through. So, everybody, this is Eruption. Thank you again, girls. It was great to have you on, and we'll see you guys next week.
See you soon, Jeff.